Palm Sunday marks Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna, save us," and they waved palm branches. It's beautiful. Not fully understanding the kind of king who was coming. He didn't come in worldly greatness. He didn't rise in worldly greatness. He came low. Holy Week begins here and leads to the suffering, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And I would love to encourage you, to challenge you today, that whenever you see a palm branch from this time on, you would have something that you would always remember when you see a palm branch. And it's this simple phrase: our King comes low. Our King came low. Not only he came low, he still comes low. And that's the title of what I'd love to share with you this morning: our King comes low. So let's pray.
E te mātua tapu, e ihu. Te mātou reme kua repi katia. Te mātou kingi kua ara, kua whakahaungi anō. E te wairua tapu, he taonga, he mea atahua rawa. He mea kaha rawa atu. Kia whakawhetai mātou mō tau kupu tapu. E inoi ana mātou kia kōrero mai koe. Whakakia mātou kia koe. Kia kainga o mātou ngā kau e te ahi mau. Whakapūmau mai, ia ihu i roto ia mātou, a mā roto hoki ia mātou. Mō te aroha, me te aroha hoki ki tō iwi, ka inoi mātou, kia mea tia, ki ora. Amene.
Holy Father, Jesus, our crucified Lamb, our raised and resurrected King. Precious, most beautiful and all-powerful Holy Spirit, thank you for your blessed word. And I ask that you would speak. Fill us with you, that we would have a burning heart for you. Please form Jesus in us and through us, all for your love and the love of your people, we pray. Let it be, let it live. Amen. Thank you for your help there, Lord. It's been a while. To understand any scripture, we must consider who wrote it, who it was written to, the surrounding culture, and what happens before and after the passage. These questions help us to understand the purpose for the passage. With this approach, we'll explore the original Palm Sunday, what came before it, what came after it, and how it shapes the way that we live, including how we will live in this coming week and the week ahead. Because the Word of God is not just theory and theology. It is theology applied. It must be lived. And it is the way who it represents, who it is, helps us to live out the Word of God in our Monday through Sunday. So in John chapter 11, which we won't turn to, many of you would know, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. This happens, it's funny, hey, we just say that off the tongue. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, so beautiful. This happens before Jesus enters Jerusalem for his triumphant entry. Then in John 12, which Nick shared a few weeks ago, Jesus has dinner in Bethany. Bethany is called the House of Misery. So it's a place like people lived, but people didn't really want to go. We won't pick any other town and equivalent, all right? He's in the house of misery after Lazarus has been raised from the dead with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They're at dinner. And this is where Mary anoints his feet, preparing him for burial. Just that statement alone, preparing for burial. She is one of the few who knew and believed when Jesus said he was going to die and he would be buried. This is first love worship. This is costly. This is broken. This is beautiful. From now till his death, Nick shared it a few weeks ago, Jesus would be immersed in an aroma. Jesus is immersed not only in an aroma, he is immersed in first love. You're going to hear me say that a little bit. We are learning what it is to love Jesus first, love him only, have no other loves but him, and then all other loves that he has created and designed for us to have would come out of learning to love him first and only. And this was Mary. This is what she did here in John 12. From now till his death, he would be immersed in the love of Mary for her Savior and her Master. So there's four things I want to just briefly share with you this morning about Palm Sunday and what we can take from it in our daily living. So we've got right up to the point now of Palm Sunday. And point number one, Jesus comes low, for Jesus is our salvation. Jesus comes low, for Jesus is our salvation. To grasp Palm Sunday, we actually have to go back to the first prophecy about Palm Sunday. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 49. I'm pretty sure it's going to come up on the screen. Thank you, Matt Thomas, for putting all these together. Matt and I have also known each other since I was 14 and I think he was maybe 17. So I actually can't see you, Matt, at the moment in the lights, but I look forward to seeing you soon. Oh, hey, Beck. Hi, how are you? Genesis 49, and we're going to read from verse 8. You all good? You okay?
Yeah.
Cool. Jesus is so kind. Verse 8, Judah. So this is Jacob blessing his 12 sons before he dies, and now he's speaking to his son Judah. Judah means praise, so we can use that word. Praise, your brothers will praise you. What a funny thing to say. Funny English, hey. Praise, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You were a lion's cub, O Judah. You returned from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Now listen to this. He will tether or he will tie his donkey to a vine. Who does that? His colt to the choicest branch. Who is the vine and who is the branch? Jesus is the vine. We are the branch. But Jesus is also God and human. And so because he is human, he is also the vine and the branch. He, Jesus, will wash his garments in wine. What's wine speaking of? Here it is. His robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Jacob unknowingly prophesies Jesus, the king tied to a donkey, the king who is the vine, tied to a vine, tied to the plan and purpose of the Father and the Spirit. Robes washed in blood, eyes darker than wine, teeth whiter than milk, which is a picture of looking into the face of Jesus. Jesus is more than an encounter, my friend. Jesus is a person. The person of Jesus. A picture of Jesus' face and a picture of the Word. I love how this morning Nick shared about that the Word of God, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful. And in Psalms chapter 12 and chapter 18, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but in those two chapters, it says that the Word of God is flawless. It says that the Word of God is perfect. So at any time where you, and definitely I, are struggling with the Word of God, are you who you say that you are? He says that he is perfect. He says that his Word is flawless. When we choose to say yes to that truth in our daily living, what happens is a lot of the doubt and the wrestle with unbelief diminishes naturally, because we have chosen to believe. We pray it, our Father who is in heaven. Another way to pray that prayer is this: our Father who lives inside of heaven, you are who you say that you are. And because of you, Jesus, and what you have done, because of you, Holy Spirit, living inside of me, God lives inside of me, we can join now with Jesus and the Spirit, and we can say, we believe you too, Father. Praise God. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it's a scripture often quoted at this on this Sunday. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, that's us, that's God's people. Shout, God's people, shout, Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous, victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, not just an adult donkey, baby donkey, the foal of a donkey. Jesus goes low to the Mount of Olives, he descends. He crosses the Kidron Valley and he enters Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate. Every one of those, he is fulfilling prophecy. In Psalm 118, I'd like to turn there as we continue just to look at this point. Jesus comes low, for Jesus is our salvation. Psalm 118. This is the psalm, actually, that we have a couple of really well-known old songs. Now, when old, I'm not talking hymns, I'm talking choruses. For young people, you don't know what a chorus is. It's not just a section of a song that we repeat over and over. They are songs that we used to sing back in the day that we called choruses. And they were like 4 to 5 lines long, and we would repeat them over and over again. Some of you are like, yes, and you will see some of those songs in this psalm. Psalm 118, verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. Jesus is our gate of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. Do you remember? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with... Stephen and Sharon know this. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me. Some of you are like, where did that song come from? It's old. Some of you are like, bring it back. Come next Sunday night, we might bring a couple back. You know what's kind of fun? Is that a lot of those songs we used to sing in Mount Baptist are now being sung all over the world by young people and young adults and all these churches around the world. It's kind of fun. So we'll see, but not now. Open for me the gate of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Listen to this. Through which the righteous may enter. We can only be right if we enter through Jesus. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. I love this next bit. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. It was the Father. It was the Spirit. It was Jesus who determined that Jesus would be rejected. And listen to the next bit. And it's marvelous in our eyes. What a different definition of marvelous. Marvelous is, I get everything that I want. Marvelous is, I'm living with comfort. I'm living with convenience. God answers all my prayers the way I want them, when I want them. That's marvelous. The scripture that is perfect and flawless says that what is marvelous is that Jesus is rejected. And then get the next bit. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Some of you are like, that's another old song. Okay, now stop. This is the context of that scripture. That Jesus chose to come so low to find us and to save us. And this day is, and he was rejected by his own people, and that's awesome. And it goes on to say this, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. That word is prosperity, which gives a whole different definition to the word prosperity. And then here's the scripture. We sung it this morning. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light, Jesus is our light, to shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession, which is the feast. Join in the feast up to the horns of the altar. The horns of the altar were 2 horns in the Old Testament in the temple that people would come and they would hold on to and they would cry out, oh God, save us. Save us from our... And they were low. You had to come down low to grab onto the horns and say, oh God, save us. It's beautiful. So in Matthew 21 is actually where it speaks about Jesus coming into the city to celebrate Palm Sunday. And in Matthew 21, we'll just read little bits of it. I love reading a lot of scripture. I used to like say a lot of stuff and read a little bit of scripture. And then I'm learning that if I just read the Bible, people are going to be good. If I actually just read more of the scripture, people are going to get to know better the person of Jesus than anything. I've actually got nothing to offer you at all. I have nothing to give you that will help you in any way, shape, or form. I am the worst of sinners. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I am the worst of sinners. And the reason that I am is because I can only be responsible for my sin that scourged Jesus back. I can only be responsible for my sin and my choices that caused him to be nailed to the tree. I love that we have this here and we have one up there, because there's nothing we can offer you outside of Jesus that will help you and save you and bring you the life and joy of Jesus. So in Matthew 21, we won't read it all for the sake of time, but verse 1 says that Jesus approaches the city, and feel free, team, just to bring those scriptures through as I mention it. And he says to his disciples, go and find a donkey. We're going to approach the city. This is different. He quotes a scripture we've already read. Then down in verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They placed their cloaks on them and they sat Jesus on it. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. We can see that Jesus comes low, for Jesus is our salvation. Salvation is not a method. Salvation is not even an altar call. Salvation is person. And you can know him and you can continue to know him. His name is Jesus. Number two, Jesus comes low to clean his house. Straight after this moment, coming out from this moment of triumphant procession, where God's people are thinking this is going to be the moment where he sets us free from Roman oppression and we are going to have our independence back. Isaiah 56 verse 7 says, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices, which means their worship, will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Back in Matthew 21, verse 12, we read this. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. He walks in to his Father's house and he cleans it. Jesus now is the house of prayer for all nations. Worship is no longer tied to a place, but to a person. And inside Jesus, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. There is no longer those who have been raised in God. Even if we could say today, in a Christian home, makes them better or less needing salvation than someone who has not been raised in a Christian home. All meet God through Jesus. He is the true temple and he is making us his temple. He is our living place. We are his living place. This is intimacy. Judgment begins at the house of God. We are his church. We are his church. We are his body. We are his bride and he is jealous for us. He will not share us. He cleans us to make us his living place. His house of prayer. The church must be a house of his presence, because presence is the tangibleness of the person of Jesus. He removes whatever isn't his. Then and now. And as Sarah spoke last week, this week, today, tomorrow, let Jesus scrub us. Let Jesus scourge us. And will it be painful? Oh, yes. But I did pray a prayer once from Philippians 3 verse 10, said that I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. And I want to know you in the intimacy and the partnership that comes from knowing you inside of your suffering. I want to know you. So what does this look like for us in action? In action, it means that in our relationships with people, wherever you are, the most normal kind of relationships, it means that we purpose to come low with each other. It means that we bring Jesus' mercy, Jesus' kindness, Jesus' compassion, his gentleness, his meekness, his lowliness, and his humility with others. I'll share with you just one story. I know we're going to be concluding our service shortly. I'll share with you one story. As I said, I am involved with rugby league. It happened because my sons were playing when we lived in Sydney and they needed a trainer and I thought I would get involved as a trainer. It was good to, at that time I was working in church. I actually don't work in church at the moment. I teach music to kids. It's fantastic. It's awesome. And get to be with worship teams that are made up of children and young people. It's a lot of fun. And you need Jesus when you're the only one on the platform who's 47 and the next oldest person is 10. So... Anyway, I got involved in rugby league and I kept having conversations with people, things like this. You're not normal. I was like, yes, this is true. And they would say, people like you don't come and get involved in something like this. I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, you don't talk like everybody else here. I was like, I thought it's because I don't swear. And people would say to me, you're really kind. They're like, people actually do that and stop mid-sentence. They'd be like, well, why are you like, somebody said to me, you are the kindest person I've ever met. And I said, I'm actually not, I'm evil. And it's when we were heading to the training field and it's a rep side. So I work with rep sides as well. We're heading to the training field and they literally stopped and I'm like, do you want to know why I'm evil? And they're like, yes. I'm like, well, not now, but at the end of training, if you're still interested, I'll let you know. And I said, so you want to know why you think I'm so kind? And he was like, yeah. And I said, and you want to know why I told you that I'm evil? And he said, yeah. And I said, because I'm the worst of sinners. I said, have you ever heard of Jesus? And he was like, yeah. I said, you ever been to church? No. And I got to share with him the gospel of Jesus. And because by Jesus' mercy alone, he had seen kindness, mercy, compassion, gentleness. I've been working at Chemist Warehouse Factory for a year. So I get up at 3 o'clock, go to work like at 4, on the floor at 5, and finish up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I worked there for a year. And on my last day of work, the second in charge came out. They had an all team meeting. It was about 60 people. And the lady went to talk and she said, today is Aaron's. And she stopped and she just started to cry. And she said, in front of 50 to 60 people, she said, I have no idea how you live like you live. Have 5 people come to me on the last day of work crying, tears pouring down their, like some people literally couldn't talk. Again, Jesus' mercy. This is Jesus' mercy. And they said, how do you live? Had the most wonderful conversations with people who are living lives very far from what we would think a Christian life is. At the end of that, a lady comes up to me, her name's Mel from New Zealand, and she goes, we've never had any spiritual chats. And she comes up and she goes, what church do you go to? I went, I go to this church. What time are your services? Services are this time. And I said, youth too. I said, I've never been to church before in my life. Neither's my girls. And then she walked off. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I dropped my kids at youth. It's a bit of a drive where we take them to youth. It's about 50 minutes, 5-0. Drove them to youth, went to start preparing my music lessons at that amazing restaurant called McDonald's. And I was sitting there preparing my lessons and I get this message. We're out the front. I'm like, out the front. It was Mel. She's like, we're out the front. I'm like, oh, hey, Mel, where are you out the front of? She says, of your church. Because youth was that night. She came, brought her 3 girls who had never been to church and they're doing this. And Mel's like, wow, there's so many young people. It's like, this is awesome. You've got a basketball court. Thank you, Pastor Nick. That's what coming low in relationships looks like. Now, I could tell you lots of other stories where, sadly, I've hurt people too. Again, I've got nothing to offer you outside of Jesus. But this is what lowness in relationships look like. We're not going to get through all 4 of our points. Worship team, you can come. And that's fine. Maybe in the second service, if you want to stick around, I might get to number 4. Might be less people to say hi to at the beginning. But we'll finish with this. Jesus comes low to be our feast, our sacrifice, and he is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26, you would have heard it many times in this church. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this. Do what? Eat it. Consume it. Be immersed in it in remembering me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Another way to say that, a way that might be more understandable but is still theologically correct, is the new relationship inside my blood. Do this, drink this, immerse yourself in it. And whenever you drink it, remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. John 1:29 says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wasn't the Lion of God here? Yes, he is Lion, but it is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God killed once for all. He is the bread. So he says, eat me. We're like, that's weird. I know. It was weird to 500 other people too who heard it and left Jesus when he said, you need to eat me. We're like, we didn't sign up for cannibalism. It's not what he's saying. This is my blood. Drink me. This is salvation. It's not a system. It's a person. The gospel is not a method. It's union with Jesus himself. Jesus comes low, and this is the gospel of Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes, first to the Jew. Who are the Jews? They are God's chosen people. They are still God's chosen people, and so are we. So the gospel is not just for people who have yet to say yes to Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is for me right now. It goes on to say Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, Sarah might have spoken this as well, that I seek to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified, him killed. For it goes on to say, for the crucifixion, the death of Jesus is the power of God. We come from a nation that has spoken much about the power of God, and we have seen many, many signs and wonders over decades. But can I put and? I don't want to say but to discredit that. And can I say this to you, church? The ultimate power of God is the gospel of Jesus. It is his leaving. Do you know the gospel starts with Jesus leaving? He left the love relationship he had always known with the Father and the Spirit. What was it like for Jesus to leave? And he comes and he lives from a throne of endless glory, endless love, to a cradle, to the dirt. What did Jesus do when he was 17? Don't know. What did Jesus do when he was 23? Don't know. Maybe Paul got it right in 1 Thessalonians 4 when he said, make it your ambition to live a quiet life. Working with your hands. Sound familiar? Jesus was a carpenter, for those of you who don't know. Working with your hands. Having the respect of outsiders so that no one need teach you. Wow. Jesus left. Jesus loved, Jesus died. This is the gospel of Jesus. Jesus was buried. Jesus descended just when you thought he couldn't go any lower. He descends. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, he descends to Hades, to hell. There is this wild verse in 1 Peter 3 that speaks about in the middle of Christ, suffering Christ's crucifixion once for all. It then goes and says, and he preached the gospel. He preached the message to all the spirits who were below that had come from the days of the flood. I'm like, I've been reading my Bible all my life and I've never seen that scripture up until about maybe 2 months ago. I was like, hold on. So Jesus, heaven, leaves heaven, comes to earth. That's so low. Dies, is buried. So lower. And then he goes and just maybe gives the opportunity for all those people to meet him. Jesus was buried and he descended. Jesus was raised and resurrected from the dead by the Father and the Spirit and himself. Jesus ascended, and Ephesians 4 says that when he went into the clouds, he filled all of creation with himself. So it means everybody, no matter how far you are from him, you are still a little bit like him. And more than you think. Jesus ascended and filled everything with himself. What's Jesus doing now? He rests. He sits at the right hand of the Father, new body with wounds, with scars. The risen Savior still has scars. If you have scars emotionally, mentally, physically, it's okay. You're like Jesus. He rests at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the Father to make his enemies his footstool. And what is the gospel of Jesus? How many of you knew that? Rest is in the gospel. But Jesus will return to rule and reign in the new heavens and the new earth with us. Wow. If you've never said yes to Jesus this morning, I would like to give you the opportunity now to say, I am a sinner. I need saving. I need Jesus. And the scriptures that you have read have stirred my heart. I need him today. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads. Because this walk with Jesus is very public. It cost his followers everything. That's first love. It's everything. And so if you would like to say yes to Jesus this morning, like just as a sign that we can pray with you and we can help you take a next step as a church, just right where you're sitting, would you be willing to raise your hand this morning and say, yes, I want Jesus. No more mixture. There's a song that says, no more mixture. Give me the God of the scripture. No more idols or lesser loves. No substitute will ever do. This one thing I will pursue. I want Jesus. If that's you this morning, you can lift your hand and say yes to him. We're about to receive communion, but let's just pray this prayer together, church, if you would, for those people who are saying yes to him. Repeat after me. Say this. O Master Jesus Christ, you came so low to find me and to save me. I now let go of my life and bring it to follow you. Clean me from my sin. Holy Spirit, come and live inside me. Make me your living place. You are my King. You are my victory. You are my salvation. Amen.